Would you please read with me together the title of our sermon today on the screen? What is faith? Based on our gospel reading from Luke 17, verse 5, when the apostles turned to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Please follow, especially today, follow the sermon outline provided for you in the handout, because later on I'm going to have you read aloud with me some things that are printed there. What is faith? When I was in my first year as a brand new pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dayton, Ohio, I encountered a tragedy about a misunderstanding about faith. I was called upon to go to St. Elizabeth's Hospital in downtown Dayton to visit a mother of one of the members of our congregation. This grandmother was in the hospital because she was involved in a group that taught very falsely a meaning of faith that went like this. If you have enough faith, you can have anything you want. If you have enough faith and pray with faith, God will shower his blessings upon you from heaven. If you don't have what you need in life, it's because you don't have enough faith. I went to visit this grandmother in St. Elizabeth's Hospital. I went to the reception desk, gave her the name, the receptionist the name, and for the first time in my life, and the only time in my ministry, I went to what's called a padded room. It was an enclosed room with rubber mats on the wall. I went to see this dear grandmother, and she was in a straitjacket to protect herself from herself. And the walls were padded so she couldn't hurt herself. Why was she in there? Because she had a grandson who was very, very sick. And she was told by this false teaching group, if you have enough faith and pray hard enough, your grandson will be healed. The little boy died. And because of her misunderstanding about faith, she figured that the reason her grandson died was because she didn't have enough faith. What a horrible teaching. Now, thank goodness, in the long run, she did recover. And because of her family, she was able to join us and stay away from this false group that taught false things about faith. Have faith. Keep the faith. Don't lose faith. I wish I had more faith. How many times have you heard or maybe spoken those words? And in today's gospel reading from Luke 17, the disciples of our Lord come to Jesus with a simple request. And they say, Dear Lord, increase our faith. In another account in the Gospel of Matthew, we read these words. Jesus says to his disciples, If you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Now, at first glance, these passages seem to declare this. Underline the word seem to declare. They seem to declare this. Look at what you can do. It all depends on you. You better work on your faith. But a deeper study of Holy Scripture points us in a completely opposite direction. The witness of Holy Scripture is clearly this. We do not depend on our faith. We depend on the object of our faith, who our faith is in. And our trust and our faith is always in our dear Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 9, after Jesus heals a blind man, the blind man declares, Lord, I believe. Now, read John chapter 9. The account clearly does not say, through the mouth of Jesus, show me your faith, and then I will heal you. Jesus came to him. Jesus healed him. Jesus' words and deeds created faith in the man's heart. This healed man did not jump up and down and say, "My faith healed me. My faith healed me." Here's what the text says in verse 30. He began to tell the people, "Jesus opened my eyes." Listen once again to the theme of today's sermon. What is important is not the strength of our faith, but the object of our faith, who our faith is in, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you a series of rhetorical questions. What does a rhetorical question mean? When you ask a rhetorical question, the answer should be obvious. So, was it you who died upon the cross to pay for your sins? Was it you or your faith that died upon the cross to pay for your sins? Was it you or your faith that rose from the grave on Easter morning? The focus of faith is not on what I must do, but what I humbly receive as a gift from God. Now, just consider the wonderful and sacred thing that it's upon our altar today. The believer who has been instructed and kneels at this altar comes to receive from God something precious beyond words. Jesus, our Lord, in the Gospels, tells us that with the bread and wine, we also receive his precious body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus' words in Matthew 26 are these: "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Our faith does not make the sacrament. Our faith does not put forgiveness into this sacrament. The strength of our faith does not increase the gift in this sacrament. We simply kneel at the altar, kneel humbly, and with repentant hearts receive what is offered here. As we kneel, it would be good for each of us to pray in our heart the words of the Rock of Ages, that third verse: "O Lord, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Faith in ourselves, faith in our faith, leads us to trouble. Just ask the Apostle Peter. Peter's name means rock. And of all the disciples, Peter was closest to his Lord. But on the night before Jesus went to the cross, Peter, full of himself and his faith, made this boastful declaration in Matthew 26, 35. "Jesus, even if I have to die for you, I will never deny you." Have you ever done that? Ever said that you will always remain faithful to your Lord no matter what happens in your life? How's that working out for you? How about at your confirmation? Those of you who are confirmed may recall that on Sunday you were confirmed and received your first communion. You made a promise to be faithful to Christ and his church through the rest of your life. I wonder, where are so many of those people who made that promise in years past? But each of us must look inside our own hearts and see that faith in ourselves and faith in our promises can lead us simply to faithlessness. Jesus told Peter that his boastful promise wouldn't last. And on the very next day, when Jesus was taken to the cross, Peter denied three times that he even knew Jesus. Peter the rock became Peter the dust. My friends, We are not strong. Our faith is not strong. Faith in our faith leads to faithlessness. But as our children's sermon demonstrated, Jesus is our rock. We have a strong Savior. We have a strong Lord. After his resurrection, what did Jesus do to Peter? He restored him, he forgave him, and he made him the leader of the new Christian church. Jesus made Peter into a rock whose faith was not in himself, but in his Lord. And today's Luke 17 gospel reading, the disciples asked Jesus, do you remember the question? What did they ask? What did they ask Jesus? Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus did just that. You see, the Bible teaches us that faith is always a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God that he works in our hearts when we hear his word and receive his gifts. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, for it is grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, not your own works, so no one can boast. What a wonderful reminder of this is given to us by Martin Luther in his catechism, in his explanation of the Apostles' Creed. Now, in your outline, especially confirmation students who are here today, and the rest of you, turn in your sermon outline to the sermon outline. Would you do that? And find Roman numeral 3, the bold words that are printed there. Do you have it? Do you have your outline in front of you, everybody? We're going to read aloud together the bold words in Roman numeral 3, Luther's explanation about having faith according to the creed. Let's read it together. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me and kept me in the true faith. This is most certainly true. The faith that we have and are remaining in the faith is God's doing, not our doing. Now, as was said at the beginning of the sermon, in the story about the grandmother in the hospital, the idea of faith is often misunderstood. Do you know that in our world today, just the word faith has at least three different meanings? Look on your sermon outline. First of all, it said that a person believes something. That is, has factual knowledge in their head about something. For example, you might say, I believe it rains a lot here on the West Coast. Now, many people claim this kind of factual knowledge about God. They say, oh, I believe in God. I acknowledge that God exists, but that doesn't mean they trust him or worship him. And likely, there are some of those folks here, even in our worship assembly today. There are people like this in biblical times. James, in his epistle, chapter 2:19, says to people who say, well, I believe there's a God, listen to what James says. This might shock some of you. James 2:19. You believe that there is one God? Well and good. But even the demons so believe, and they tremble. Even the devil and his demons acknowledge the existence of God, but head knowledge of God is by no means saving faith. In fact, such belief in our head that hasn't traveled 18 inches to our heart can bring us no peace. It even causes us fear and trembling. I know that there's a God exists, but what does he think of me? Second of all, look at your outline. A second meaning of the word faith is this. A person believes in something. That is, a person values something. For example, you might say, I believe in Canada. Or, I believe in motherhood. But this also is not what the Bible means by saving faith. And this brings us to meaning number three of the word faith. The biblical meaning of faith. A person believes on something, trusts it, and entrusts themselves to the object of their faith. Remember the children's message? Listen to Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. This is no mere intellectual assent or head knowledge of God's existence. This is not the sweet, sentimental valuing something like motherhood or apple pie. No, this is believing on someone. Humble trust, saving faith in the Lord of life and death, and we cannot take credit for such faith. It's a gift from God. In our hymn book, there's a beautiful hymn that describes this kind of saving faith. Not a mere intellectual knowledge, not a sentimental valuing something, but an entrusting of oneself, of standing on Christ, the solid rock. Now, in your sermon handout, I told you we'd be coming back to it. Go to the bottom of your sermon outline. We're going to read the words, just one verse of this hymn together. Do you have it in front of you? The bottom of your sermon outline. Let's read it together. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. And now we get to the final question of this sermon about faith. Why do we say the little word, Amen? There is a powerful but little word with which we end every prayer and many hymns, and that word is Amen. Amen is a Hebrew word, which can mean faithful, or can be counted on, or solid like a rock, like our children's message. Amen is a statement of faith. That we are declaring that God can be counted on, that He is faithful, that He is the solid rock upon which we stand. So when we end a hymn, or we end a prayer by saying, in Jesus' name, Amen, we declare that He is that rock, and our faith is nothing less than standing on Jesus, our rock. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
That is trusting faith in the name of Jesus, our rock. Amen.